Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
We're talking about an English novel.
Yes.
In today's lesson. An English novel, of course, is both a novel from England or a novel written in English. And we're talking about a really old one. Some people even claim that this was the first English novel, Robinson Crusoe, written by the master himself, Daniel Defoe.
That's right. And as we always do in our literature unit, we focus on the themes, the messages within the novel itself. And we're going to do that today, just like we always do. Talk about why he wrote what he did, what perhaps he was trying to communicate to his audience of readers. And we'll do that now by reading through the day's article first, and then we'll be back. But I got to wake Tom up first. It looks like he's napping.
Robinson Crusoe was written at a time when the slave trade and colonization were the norm. It was also a time when the ethnic groups being subjugated were viewed as less than human. The master-to-servant relationship Crusoe cultivates with Friday symbolizes these norms, serving as an allegory of Britain's imperial rule over its colonies. Crusoe views Friday as uncivilized in every respect, and too inferior to be granted a proper English name. Over time, Crusoe quells Friday's natural instincts in favor of his own culture. By denying Friday his native dress, tongue, and religion, Crusoe strips Friday of his identity and rebuilds him into a man fit to live within Crusoe's standards of civilization. Whereas Crusoe represents Britain and its colonial process, Friday stands for the ethnic groups oppressed by European imperialism. The very moment Friday learns to call Crusoe master, he becomes the symbol for the racial inequality that would afflict conquered peoples for centuries to come. Despite the disparity between the two men, Friday's enduring spirit and heartfelt displays of emotion help Crusoe to recognize the value of his relationship with the man. Crusoe expresses more love for Friday in the novel than he does for his own family. Accordingly, Friday, along with those he represents, is given a more humanized character than any such group in literature had received up to that point. It's also important to note Defoe's hesitation over Crusoe's mastery in the novel. Crusoe learns early on how to master nature, which is necessary for his survival. He becomes so good at manipulating the things around him that he never once questions his superiority when Friday arrives on his island. Defoe wavers between his praise for Crusoe's ability to command his environment and his disapproval of Crusoe's perceived right to command his fellow humans.
Okay, guys, we're going to jump right in here and talk about some of the themes and messages within Robinson Crusoe. Now, Robinson Crusoe was written at a time when the slave trade and colonization were the norm. We've already talked about the slave trade. A lot of these European countries were traveling to Africa and just taking people, taking them against their will and bringing them back so that they could work on plantations. This also happened, of course, in America when we were settled. Colonization refers to when a group of settlers are sent from their own country. For example, England would send settlers to another country like India, and they were expected to, you know, establish roots, build homes, schools, things like that, but also establish political control over that country that they were settling in. And if you say something is the norm, it just means it's normal. Notice here we're using the norm. You can't say we're the normal. Although norm is short for normal, you have to say the norm, or you could say when slave trade and colonization were normal. That's also correct.
Exactly. And of course, colonization was common all over the world. Right here in Taiwan, Japan colonized Taiwan for 50 years there. Some of their influence is still left behind. But back then, colonization was the norm. It was standard practice. It went on everywhere. It was also a time when the ethnic groups being subjugated were viewed as less than human. If you're talking about ethnic groups, you're talking about smaller groups within a larger population, and they are different. Okay, we're talking about different ethnic groups here in Taiwan, the Aboriginals, for example. And in the U.S., if you talk about ethnic groups, you're talking about blacks, Latinos, Asians, etc. And, of course, when they colonized those countries, they subjugated those people there. To subjugate means they are put in a lower position, and they were viewed as less than human. Okay, so we're your masters, and you guys are inferior to us, so you better listen to us. You better learn our language, learn our culture, and learn our religion in order to be civilized. Otherwise, you're just as good as dirt.
Yeah, you're savages is how they were referred to a lot back then. Now, the master to servant relationship, master would be Crusoe, servant would be Friday. That relationship that Crusoe cultivates with Friday symbolizes these norms, that it was just expected that people were, you know, becoming slaves or servants to somebody who thought they had more power, more intellect, more civilization within them. If you cultivate something, guys, you help it grow. You can cultivate a friendship by getting to know the person, maybe going out and doing some things with them, getting to know each other a little bit better. He cultivates a relationship with Friday, and it's representative of what we're talking about. His friendship or relationship, it says, serves as an allegory of Britain's imperial rule over the colonies. An allegory is a story, even a novel, it could be a poem too, that can be interpreted to reveal some sort of hidden message. It's usually a political message or a moral message, and allegories were quite popular back then.
Exactly. Some people say that the story The Wizard of Oz was an allegory to the political situation in the United States at the time. It wasn't really, but somebody kind of said, well, these things represent these things. So some people believe that. But yeah, it's kind of an allegory here. It kind of represents England's superiority over the world at that time. So yes, indeed, Robinson Crusoe is kind of like England, and Friday represents all the colonies that were oppressed by the British back then, or European imperialism, I should say. The British were probably the most successful at this, but other countries took part in this as well, notably France and Spain and Portugal, and also the Netherlands as well. They were commanding over the Indonesian archipelago and stuff like that. Probably some other countries there, too. They all kind of got their hand in the pie there a little bit.
So Crusoe views or sees or interprets Friday, this is how he sees his friend, as uncivilized. If you're uncivilized, people think you're socially backward, or maybe you don't know as much as they do. You're socially backward or not advanced, maybe culturally or morally. They view you as not being very advanced, but that's somebody's opinion. I mean, all cultures are different. All cultures have value, which we acknowledge today, but back then they didn't. If European people went to another country, they just assumed the European culture was better, so they forced it on the people of the country they were colonizing. So Crusoe views Friday as uncivilized in every way. You could say respect just means way. And too inferior to be granted a proper English name. Oh, that's why he names him Friday, which is a little silly for a name. Although nowadays people have crazy names. If you're inferior to someone, it just means you're viewed as having a lower rank or status or even quality. So he viewed him as being inferior, which we don't do, we shouldn't be doing today either. We should view everybody as an equal. So over time, Crusoe quells or pushes down or oppresses Friday's natural instincts in favor of his own culture, and that's what a lot of these colonizers did. If you quell something, you kind of put an end to it. You know, usually you're trying to force somebody to be silent, or you're trying to decrease whatever they're doing. So he quells or he oppresses Friday's natural instincts. Your instincts are just your native or natural reactions to situations you're in. And of course, your native instinct or your natural instinct is to do what you've been brought up to do. You know, that's your background. So it's typical fixed pattern of behavior in people, sort of a natural or intuitive way to act or think, your instinct.
Exactly. So, yeah, Friday may have a natural instinct to just walk around naked all the time or go to the bathroom right there on the ground. And, of course, he tells him, oh, no, you can't do that. You need to wear proper attire. You need to look proper. And, of course, if you need to relieve yourself, you use the loo and you don't go outside on the ground like a dog would do. So, yes, indeed, Friday had these natural instincts. And Crusoe had to quell those instincts. He had to suppress them and make him behave like a civilized person. Now, by denying Friday his native dress, tongue, and religion, Crusoe strips Friday of his identity and rebuilds him into a man fit to live within Crusoe's standards of civilization. Now, this sounds like what the Americans did to the American Indians in the 1800s. They all sent them to that school in Pennsylvania there to civilize them in the ways of the white man. But in this case, he denies Friday his native dress, the kinds of clothes he wears. Oh, you don't want to wear that stuff. And his native tongue, of course, is his language. Oh, it sounds like animals talking to each other. And your religion, oh, it's a bunch of nonsense praying to those different kinds of gods you got. You got to believe in our religion. That's superior. So, of course, he strips him of his identity. Here we have the phrase to strip someone of someone. Mm-hmm. That means to take it totally away from them. And then, of course, he rebuilds him into a man who can live in civilization or be civilized.
Okay, guys, right now we're going to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
Hello, 大家好，我是 Trevor， 欢迎收听 English Digest。今天继续为各位介绍文学单元第三天的课程。文章的第一段说明，《鲁滨逊漂流记》是在奴隶贸易以及开拓殖民地十分常见的时代下撰写的。我们首先看到本段的第三句 ：The master to servant relationship Crusoe cultivates with Friday。Symbolizes these norms, serving as an allegory of Britain's imperial rule over its colonies. 克鲁索与星期五建立的这种主仆关系象征了这些常态，可当作是英国对其殖民地实行帝国统治的奉谕。本句中的 serve as 是当作什么什么来使用，具有某种效果的意思。动词 serve 的字义很多，第一个有服侍供应的意思，例如 A nice waiter served us our dinner when we went out to eat last night. 昨天晚上我们外出用餐时，有一个不错的服务生供应我们的晚餐。再来有服刑的意思，例如 Criminals serve time in prison as punishment for the crimes they have committed. 罪犯因他们所犯的罪而在监狱中服刑作为惩罚。第三个有发球的意思，例如Our team captain usually serves first when we play volleyball. 打排球的时候，通常是由我们的队长率先发球。我们再看到本段的最后一句 ，By denying Friday his native dress, tongue, and religion, Crusoe strips Friday of his identity and rebuilds him into a man fit to live within Crusoe's standards of civilization. 透过否定星期五的土著穿着。语言和宗教信仰，克鲁索剥夺了星期五的特性，并将它重塑成适合生存于克鲁索的文明标准的人。本句中的 civilization 是文明的意思。这里补充一些相关的常见衍生字 ：civilize, civilize， 动词是教化、使文明的意思。例如。The psychologist's goal is to civilize the prison's criminals before they are released. 这名心理医师的目标是在监狱中的罪犯出狱之前教化他们。Civic, C-I-V-I-C, 是形容词，有公民的意思。例如 ,It is the civic duty of all people to report the occurrence of any crime to the police.禀报任何犯罪给警方知道是全部公民的责任。Civil 则是形容词，有国内的意思。例如 ，This country is on the brink of civil war due to religious differences。 这个国家由于信仰不同而处于内战爆发的边缘。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Let us continue with our lesson, everybody. We're talking about some of the themes in Robinson Crusoe. We've been talking about mostly the master-to-servant relationship between Crusoe and Friday. Now, let's move on now to the next paragraph here. It says, whereas Crusoe represents Britain and its colonial process, Friday stands for the ethnic groups oppressed by European imperialism. So that's kind of the allegory here. Crusoe is the master or the British imperialists, and Friday represents all the people that the Brits controlled during the colonial era, those various colonies they had all over the world, including Hong Kong.
So the very moment Friday learns to call Crusoe master, remember Tom talked about that. He didn't want Friday calling him Mr. Crusoe or even Robinson. Robinson is his first name.
Or Robbie boy. Hey, Robbie, how
yeah,
you
Robbie,
doing?
Hey,
let's get on the beach and get a suntan or something.
Yeah, Robinson would probably be a nickname Robbie. I know we had a Robinson Cano on the Yankee team and we called him Robbie. He wanted Friday to actually call him master, like Friday's his servant and he's much more civilized and has much more power. He's superior to Friday. Remember, inferior means you're lower in status or rank, but superior means you're higher in status or rank. Sometimes when we're working, though, we say, my superior asked me to do that. That would be your boss or manager. That's okay. But be careful to not call people your inferior at work. We don't do that. Although I've heard that used in Taiwan when I teach business people.
Yeah, it should be your subordinate, right?
Yes.
Okay. And in any case here, yes, indeed, the master becomes a symbol for racial inequality when things are not equal. That would afflict conquered people for centuries to come. To afflict means to make something happen to somebody that is bad, to cause them to have pain or some kind of illness. And so here, these conquered people were afflicted with inequality. They were forced to endure that inequality. These are conquered people, people who were taken over by the superior country. There are all sorts of examples of that. Again, the British colonies in Asia, Burma, they were controlling there, and in India and other places as well. These are conquered people, and they would be afflicted for a long time, for centuries to come.
Now, despite the disparity between the two men, Friday and Crusoe, Friday's enduring spirit and heartfelt displays of emotion help Crusoe to recognize the value of his relationship with the man, that it's not master-servant at all, that they're friends. When you talk about the disparity between two things or different countries or whatever you're talking about, it just means the big difference. There's a great difference between them. So when you look at the disparity, Friday actually has this really enduring spirit. No matter what happens to him, he keeps going and he doesn't let it get him down. He's also very emotional. He's very kind and loving. I think you could say he's caring. If you're heartfelt, it just means your emotions are involved. You're a caring, kind person, heartfelt. So Crusoe starts to think, oh, maybe I'm misjudging this man. He's not uncivilized and he's not my inferior. He's actually a good guy.
Indeed, so he started to see him more as a fellow human being and less as a servant, less as a slave, less as a savage. Now, Crusoe expresses more love for Friday in the novel than he does for his own family. That doesn't surprise me, of course. In some families, they start to hate their siblings. Oh, you just want mom and dad's money. I'm going to stop you from doing that. And so, again, he actually thinks that, hey, Friday's actually a better man than my brother. My brother is a real manipulative SOB. I don't want to have anything to do with him anymore. But I like Friday. He's sincere. He would do anything for me, and I would do anything for him.
So accordingly, or because of this relationship that we just described, Friday, along with those he represents, other natives, They're given a humanized character within the book, more so than any such group in literature had received up to that point. So in that point of time in our world history, people like Friday, who were natives on islands, were represented like they were, you know, uncivilized, a little inferior to European people who were deemed or seen, at least by themselves, as being more cultured. So they humanized his character in this book, which was a big change for European novels at that point in time. It's also important, it says, to note Defoe's hesitation over Crusoe's mastery in the novel. Hesitation means you don't do something immediately. You wait, you hold back, you hesitate. Hesitate is a verb form. So you kind of pause or you stop yourself before maybe saying something or doing something you might regret. So you can tell when you're reading the novel that Crusoe, you know, he maybe doesn't need to be a master like he is. Defoe doesn't like Crusoe's trying to control Friday. This is the feeling that you get in the novel.
That is the feeling that you get in the novel. We don't necessarily feel that Crusoe is totally the master here. Crusoe learns early on how to master nature. Remember, he planted those seeds. He figured out how to survive on his own. And then, of course, this is all necessary for his survival. If he did not have those survival skills, he would be dead and buried by now, and he becomes so good at manipulating the things around him that he never once questions his superiority when Friday arrives on his island. So, yes, he's really good. He becomes kind of conceited or really impressed with himself because he can manipulate the things around him, which means basically to handle or control things or to use things. Oftentimes it's used negatively. Would you stop manipulating me? You're just using me for your own purposes.
Yeah. I had a friend a long time ago that knew that, you know, I really liked this friend and that anything this friend asked me to do, I would do. And that's sort of manipulative. You need to be thinking about the other person. You shouldn't be using people around you. But he was pretty good at manipulating the things around him and the people around him, you could say, that he never once questions his superiority. When Friday arrives on his island, he never once thought, oh, this guy might have a lot of talents, a lot of abilities that I should acknowledge. No, he saw himself as master who was controlling everybody. He was going to use Friday like he did everything else because he was so smart. Superiority refers to the state of being superior or better than others. If you have a superiority complex, we often use those two words together. It means someone thinks they're better than others. They're very arrogant. They're not the kind of people who make a lot of friends, but they are people that use others around them.
I've heard people here in Taiwan describe foreigners as having a superiority complex. You hear about that every once in a while. I should mention the opposite of superiority complex is inferiority complex. Some people just naturally feel inferior to others.
Well, even teenagers go through that stretch of time where they're not very confident about themselves. You don't
want
that either.
Yeah, it's natural. But in any case here, yes, oh, I'm the English person here, Friday here, he's a savage local, so of course I'm superior to him. But Defoe wavers between his praise for Crusoe's ability to command his environment and his disapproval of Crusoe's perceived right to command his fellow humans. So Defoe, yes, thinks that, yes, Crusoe is really cool. He has this ability to command or control his environment. So he's really good at that. But he also says, but I don't approve of his superiority complex over Friday there. Disapproval means you just don't approve. You think it's bad. And he's got this perceived right to command his fellow humans. He just thinks it's his right to control others just because he's a really smart white guy.
And of course, command means to tell others what to do. So he's got this perceived right, that's how he's viewing it, is what we're saying, that he has a right to command his fellow humans, which he does not, of course, we know that. Right now, guys, we are going to listen to our Chinese teacher who will wrap this up and then we'll be back.
接着我们来看第二段。本段说明克鲁索代表的是英国及其殖民过程，而星期五所代表的则是受到欧洲帝国主义压迫的族群。本段的第二句，The very moment Friday learns to call Crusoe master, He becomes the symbol for the racial inequality that would afflict conquered peoples for centuries to come. 在星期五学会称呼克鲁索为主人的那一刻，他成为了种族不平等的象征，而这样的不平等折磨着未来几世纪被征服的人们。其中的 conquered 是被征服的的意思，和 conquer 具有相同意思的有 overcome, O-V-E-R-C-O-M-E, 通常指战胜或克服某事物。例如 ,Sam overcame his fear of speaking in front of crowds by practicing as much as he could. 山姆借由尽可能的练习来克服在群众前演说的恐惧。Surmount, S-U-R-M-O-U-N-T,是特别指克服困难、越过障碍的意思。例如 ,With a lot of hard work, we were able to surmount every challenge we faced. 只要尽了许多努力，我们就能够超越任何我们需要面对的障碍。最后我们看到第三段。本段说明作者迪福对将小说中的克鲁索塑造成对其他角色有控制权犹豫不决。本段的最后一句，Defoe wavers between his praise for Crusoe's ability to command his environment and his disapproval of Crusoe's perceived right to command his fellow humans. 迪福赞赏克鲁索掌控所处环境的能力，却又不赞同克鲁索认为他有权利去掌控其同伴。迪福在这两者中犹豫不决。本句中的 command 是动词，有命令、支配的意思。它做名词时有掌控、控管的意思。例如 ,Alice took command of the company when the CEO was too sick to work. 当执行长因病无法工作时，爱丽丝掌管整间公司。以上就是今天的课程，我们下次再会。
That is it for today, everybody. Hopefully we have inspired you to pick up a copy of Robinson Crusoe yourself.And check it out. Hey, your reading, listening, speaking comprehension might increase many times over. So from all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.